Record this, because in fact, I'm going to start this recording off by singing, "Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me, because I have a healing with my loving heart, discovered the power of energy." Oh, that was good. So Susanna, Dr. Susanna, Stoika?
Stoika.
Okay. Has written a book called Healing with a Loving Heart, Discover the Power of Energy Healing. Energy. See, just by singing the song, you think you become more energetic by singing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Music is very good for you.
All right, what else is good for you? What's in that book that tells you that things could be good for you and make you a happier person or a stronger person? Or what kind of person will come out of reading your book?
First of all, what's good for you? It's very interesting. People don't realize three very simple things that don't cost really any money are very important for you. One, drink enough water, because the neural signal transmission needs water, and the functioning of the whole body needs water, because 70% of us is water. And I found a lot of people who are older who avoid the drinking water so they don't have to go to the bathroom, which is a very big mistake because it affects their memory.
But I drink water in a prune juice bottle. So, but it's not that. If I drink that much prune juice, never mind.
We don't have an interview.
You're right. That's a very interesting, but see that? That's a very smart thing for you to say. Okay, go ahead.
I can see inside the human body. And I have seen people who have their brain dried out literally because they don't drink enough water. So it's very serious.
It is. You're 100% right. I happen to know that. I did the brain series. Go on.
The second thing that is again free for all is deep breathing. As we age, we tend to hunch more. And because of that, our capability of breathing deeply is reduced. So what does it mean to breathe deeply? It means that you put your hands on your stomach and you breathe in till you feel that the stomach goes out. What it does, basically, as the diaphragm goes down, it pulls down your lungs, and you feel that the whole lung area is filled up much better. And then you push out the air as if you would push out the toothpaste from the container. So it's kind of roll it out with your mouth open. And if you do that 10 times, several times a day, you can notice an improvement in your memory. You have a much clearer mind and a calmer mind, which is very important.
Let me ask you a question, because there was one word you said, I wasn't sure if I understood it. Did you say the word
posture changes.
You are, once again, you are brilliant again. So in fact, I'm going to a physical therapist because I have a shoulder problem, who's got me practicing because my posture, I'm 71, is in Yiddish, we call it verkakta. It's falling apart. And so instead of sitting here like an old man, she wants me to stand up like a big boy. And you can feel that. And I'm a yoga instructor too. I never do it, but I took the classes. And exactly what you said, you know, that breathing though is most people think when you breathe in, I think they think you're taking your stomach and going in. What you're saying is breathe in and put your stomach out.
Yeah.
I'll be frank with you. I didn't do so well with the yoga class. It took me 4 years to get through a 2-year class in any case, but I became certified. It's a different thought. right? Because when you breathe in, you think you breathe in, but you actually breathe, your stomach comes out when you're breathing in, correct?
Yeah, because then you move down the diaphragm and you fill up your lungs much better.
Very wise. Go ahead, more. Is this in your book?
Yes. The third thing that is very important.
Loving heart, discover the power of energy healing. All right, the third thing, Dr. Susanna. Oh, Susanna.
So the third thing doesn't cost you anything.
Oh, that's good too.
Keep in touch with people. As we age, we get cranky.
What do you mean by that?
And we tend to not want to see people because of it, which is exactly the wrong thing to do, because we become even crankier. And an extension of that is one of the best things you can do to yourself is to volunteer.
Oh, that's another brilliant.
Why is good? Because when you volunteer, you get more love back than you give out. People are so grateful, especially if you go to a retirement home where there's not too much excitement and you visit those people, they are so grateful. So four things, no cost to you. And
I got three things. Did you say four things?
The extension of volunteering.
Oh, okay. The first one was?
Water, air, and volunteering. Keeping in touch, connection with people, and volunteering.
And volunteering is four, okay. Now, tell me a little bit, because you're a 30-plus year professional at these kinds of thoughts. When you were a little girl in, I don't think in America, but when you were a little girl somewhere in this Mother Earth, well, this is the better picture of Mother Earth. I like this picture better because, see, this picture is segregation. These countries, you know, hey, this is my country. This is a better picture because this is from the moon. And this is the picture of everybody's in it together. There's no boundaries. There's no border. It's like the John Lennon picture, you know? No colors of skin, no nothing. So I kind of like this one better. In any case, did you know that you would be talking to me today about what you're talking about? Or what did you think you'd be talking about just a few days ago when you were a little girl?
When I was a little girl, actually, I was doing healing, but I wasn't aware of it.
Wow. Yeah, okay. How?
My dad told me when I first became aware that I was doing healing, and that was at a course that I took in order to help my husband, who had back pains. We were learning about polarity healing, and my hands took off. And I couldn't stop them. They were moving by themselves. I had absolutely no control of my hands. And you can imagine how scared I was, what was happening. And I looked at the teacher and he just showed me, stay with it. And when it was all done, I asked him what happened, because it took about 30 minutes, I don't know exactly. Till he stopped, and I asked him what happened, and he told me, you will have to find out for yourself, you know, very wisely. So next I went to a yoga place. I figured the guy was a yogi, so he must know what's all about, and they were ahhing about what happened, and then they told me, you have to find out for yourself.
Oh, God, no one not so, sure wants the answer. Go on.
So I went to my husband, and he immediately told me, you can take whatever courses you want, but don't tell me about this. And then I went, the next one was my father, and I said, Dad, you are an engineer. I am an engineer. Maybe we can figure it out. Look what happened. And he said, it's nothing. You were doing it when you were 7 years old. I said, what? He said, yeah, don't you remember when your mom walked into a window and cut her forehead and she was bleeding very badly and I asked you to bandage her? You were 7 years old. But my father would faint at the sight of blood. He had no control over it. So he gave me a big bunch of cotton and gauze, and he was directing me from the kitchen what to do. And I remember that it stayed with me that when I saw the wound, which was all through her forehead, I had to do I had to move my finger and put the skin back in place till it stopped bleeding. So once it stopped, I did everything my father said. So of course, they called the ambulance in the meantime because she was bleeding so badly. And when I was done with the bandaging, she looked like a space cadet, of course. She had a big, big head. And they went to the doctor, and when he opened it up, he said, there is nothing I can do here. If you would have come right away when it happened, I would have had to put clamps because that's what they used at that time. But right now, it's nothing. Just go back to whoever did the bandaging to change the bandage once a day. And as I was working out of the doctor's office, the doctor said, by the way, who did this? And because he asked before how long ago happened, and it was 2 hours about. And he said, my 7-year-old, and my father walked out. So I remembered after the second thing that I remembered, him coming home and smiling ear to ear, and I didn't know what happened. So years later, I found out.
Wow, what a story. That's a book unto itself.
Yeah, that's that's in The Reluctant Healer, my first book.
So how many books have you written?
To date, it depends how you count them. 5 titles, but one of them is 5 books. The one on cooking after brain injury, which helps people recover actually from brain injury. The 5 books are progressively more and more complicated. So people can't cook after they have a brain injury because they can't do anything that requires frequencing. So because I had 2 brain injuries on the same day, I was in the position that from a very good cook, I couldn't cook anymore. So I figured out this special way of cooking, and that's 5 books to help people cook again.
Special way of cooking?
Yeah, people have to have the capability of having very tiny steps. When you look at the normal cookbook, people assume that you know certain things. We don't. Once you have a brain injury, you forget everything, including how to connect the name of a vegetable to the visual of the vegetable. So the book has shopping lists and very, very tiny steps that people can mark up as they go. So they know they don't do twice the same step, because that's what was happening. If somebody came into the kitchen while I was cooking, when I started cooking, I would mess up everything because I would repeat the steps. And of course, sorting twice is not the best idea, or forgetting steps.
I'm crazy about you. You're a smart one.
Thank
you. I'm on
that
same page. People somehow they like to start from here, and I'm like 101. You know, like in college, you know, textbook, you know, business 101. People want to start here at business 21, and that basic really is the heart of everything. And
yes,
by far, after a brain injury, a trauma, and things like that, you know, you're back to what do they got? You're back to
zero.
You're back to zero, and so you gotta, like, you're the baby again, and you gotta, you know, work with the baby from the early childhood to later on. This is beautiful. That's, I'd be interested to do an interview about that as well. So, because that's very important. And I think that it's not necessarily only brain injury. I think it's, I'm older now. And, you know, some people lose confidence in their lives. They don't have, and they need some, maybe, you know, let's go backwards and look at it. And I think you are learning things that you maybe learned, you know, 40, 50 years ago again. Or
yes.
One, or two, you actually now maybe even understand them when you didn't understand them 40 or 50 years ago.
Yes, you are right.
What do you think about that?
You are absolutely right. You have a different understanding of the world around you, the wisdom. Actually, brain research showed that we might be losing neural cells, but we have more connections when we get older, which is very interesting. By the way, talking about being old, all those things about brains that I said as a very important at the beginning are very important. But also, it's very important to do as many different things as possible.
Well, last night, there was a wonderful program. I don't know if you saw it. I was actually amazed. It was on Fox television. And it was Neil deGrasse Tyson from the planetarium up the street. And I'm in Manhattan, the Museum of Natural History, okay?
And yes.
Neil deGrasse Grasso is a superstar in physics and shined last night in brain commentary. Because I did the first, was involved with the first brain series on PBS back in 1982, the historic one, the one that's the biggest science series at the time. You know, I like that subject. I like science. Actually, our show has about 40% science, health, and wellness. The brain, some of the statistics this Neil was pushing out last night about the usage of our brain and how the capacity of our brain. This is the small little cauliflower thing. It was unbelievable what he said a brain can have in it, right? I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Actually, I as a healer and as a scientist, because I'm both, I think that we are storing in our brain a lot of past life memories, a lot of genetic memories, because somehow I have people who I work with, and they can get healed only if you access these past life memories, which is extremely interesting.
So they, I mean, when somebody, a lot of people, and I wonder about this, maybe you can help me here. You know, a lot of people say in the process of healing, a lot of times the old Freudian kind of thinking is, you know, they put you down on the couch and they say, you know, tell me about your parents. So what do you think about, you know, I feel personally that we are parent crazy, that, you know, especially on the bad side or on the not good side. My parents didn't do this. My parents didn't go to the football game. My parents didn't, you know. Leave my parents alone. Leave their freaking parents. They did the best they could. Maybe they did it. Maybe they had to work to feed the family. Why do we get into the parent thing and then like try to justify whatever we did based upon what they didn't do? What's your thinking on that?
That's a very important question, because I find really worrisome that some talk therapies, psychologists, drill in this responsibility, parental responsibility for what we are doing.
Yeah.
Which is a huge mistake. Because if you blame somebody else for what you are doing, you are powerless. You can't do anything constructive with your life. Whatever happened, you are the sum total of your experiences, and it depends on the environment and the sum of other previous experiences, what at the moment becomes a traumatic experience or not. For example, I had a very interesting case. A lady who I worked with did not speak to her sister for 20 years. And she was 20 something. And she didn't know, neither the sister nor her did know why this started, but she knew that she was really hurt. So when we did a regression, I am also a hypnotherapist, we found out that when she was little, she went out to the seashore with her sister and a friend of her sister. And on the seashore was a big boulder, and the sister and her were playing with a friend, and everything was fine. And the sister was a year older, maybe 4 or 5 years old, and the person was maybe 3 or 4. And suddenly the sister disappeared behind the boulder with her friend. And she got extremely scared that she was left behind. And that was imprinted on her memory. Now I asked her to go forward with my memory and see what happened next. What happened next, her sister and the friend realized that they left the little one behind, came back, and everything was fine. But the trauma of scare imprinted that event as a traumatic event, highly traumatic event, and the sister didn't talk because of it. When she found out what it was, her relationship with her sister became absolutely normal, and they were like sisters. So this shows you that a minimal thing can trigger a trauma. More than that, they had experiments with twins that grew up in the same environment, and when you ask their memories, one perceives the same memory as traumatic and the other one not. So, talking about parents, as I told my son, there is no parent who doesn't make mistakes. We are humans. If we wouldn't make mistakes, we would be angels. I am not. I am just a parent because he thought that I was perfect. Of course, he went, some things happened in his life. He went to a therapist, and the therapist convinced him that I was the worst person around. So I was off my pedestal. But look, if it doesn't matter whom, if it's a friend, if it's a parent, you can't give out your power to anyone else. Whatever happened in your life, you have to forgive and move forward. Now, forgiveness doesn't mean that you are going to throw out that memory and you will be stupid enough to repeat something traumatic. It means that you let go of the emotional charge of the trauma.
Fear is letting go.
Yeah.
This is all beautiful stuff. Well, you're a wise one. And
thank you.
Have a wonderful book, and we're going to talk again because I really like this thinking, this thought process, because I really think it is healing for the world, okay? And I'm into the world thing and the world peace, and that's I do the World Peace Day concerts. And Times Square or Central Park, and then broadcast to the world. And I'm a TV guy, you know, CBS, PBS, and my own broadcast. And my broadcast is just for the good news and for this positive reinforcement, life affirmation. And we're believers that the world is at actually even at peace. There's a few that are not peaceful that we have to embrace and hug and try our best to, before they kill you, to try to hug them and tell them, don't do it, don't do it. It's, yeah. I'll give you, here, take the pen, leave me alone. So whatever it is, but.
Do you know why people are behaving badly?
Why?
Because they are fearful. Yes. Because somebody convinced them that the world is bad.
Yes, I know. I agree.
That's the only reason.
The word survival is the one I use. They're surviving. They don't have that. Why do we spend 1.9? I just put a story on about nuclear.
Yeah.
And then this is the first thing. My buddy's very renowned in nuclear, getting rid of the nukes. Okay. $1.9 trillion a year on arms. Why do we have $1 trillion of arms? Because we are chickens. We are afraid that the world is going to then have the arms and they're going to come and take us over, okay? But if we got rid of all the arms and then it was just man-to-man combat, well, what do you think? Do you have any other? That's what I think. I think I could be, and nobody could have them. Not us, not anybody else. But that's a it becomes a political statement for peace.
Yes.
Peace by having arms. I don't know. What do you think?
I think that the having arms but using them as a deterrent makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of fearful people and a lot of people who were convinced that the person who is speaks another language, is of another color, has a different custom, will come after them and will kill them.
It's a, well, but we're working on that fear, right?
Yeah.
We're going to hug those people. We're going to get rid of that fear because that fear is, unfortunately, has been accurate in certain 1 out of trillion sense or 1 out of a billion or 1 out of 1,000. You know, we've seen a rapist, a murderer, a killer, a blah, 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 blah. But it isn't the world. It's a few mashuganas in Yiddish, we call them.
You know?
So, and we spend so much time on them. Let's spend the amount of time on the good guys and the good girls.
Start by volunteering. Seriously, by going out and being nice and hugging people, you are right. It's so important.
By far, you know, our thing is I have a broadcast for 22 years. It's all built around this volunteerism. Okay, my broadcast is a volunteerism, 5,000 shows. But I know the right and wrong of that whole scenario. I know about, I'm the volunteer of the volunteers. So since birth, my mother, I was raised that way. Okay, in Yiddish, we got tzedakah. We gave money to charity. It's all part of our, it's part of my DNA. I was lucky one to know that. In any case, yes, people should do that. I don't know. It's just a mismanaged world to a certain degree. And we need to just manage it better. And maybe this phone, with the right people giving the right message on this phone, with a book like yours and an interview like ours, will be more thoughtful. Fortunately, it probably doesn't get to the ones that are going to have machine guns and blow somebody up today, because they're not going to be watching good news broadcast. If I put it under bad news broadcast, maybe they would come and watch. So I own bad news broadcast too. But I haven't put anything on it. But I might start putting some of the good news on the bad news because some people seem to, you know, gravitate that. In fact, when I put out a newsletter, I said, should we call our good news, this is after 20 years of doing this, should we call our good news broadcast bad news broadcast? We got the most viewership.
Yes. Did you notice that the newspapers have all negative news?
No, I never noticed that. I always thought that it starts off with people hugging and kissing. The New York Times doesn't have beautiful people kissing and loving each other every day.
How many times did you read in newspapers a story of somebody volunteering. Never.
It's on the last page of the television. It's the last story. I know, but there's reasons why.
Look at Hallmark Television, how many people are watching it. It's all good news.
Well, they do a good job. I like Hallmark Television, and I've made a lot of shows about them. I also like PBS. You know, I'm a Channel 13 guy. I was there many, many years. I make beautiful shows that are worthy of watching. And CBS and NBC, they all have something worthy. A little bit of the difficulty, I believe, with regard to the media aspect of things is that in the news world, it is true that they only have a half an hour, the local news, say an hour, half an hour, to show you the news. And I think that they do have that responsibility to show you there's a rapist, a murderer, a fire in your neighborhood. So it's not that they mean to just beat us down, like, you know, I mean, most people after half an hour of local news are ready to like pass out because it's so much freaking negativity. They have a responsibility to do that. It's just that they don't have a bigger forum to actually talk about it. Like my whole forum is built around this kind of conversation. In any case, I want to thank you. I ask people, because we do this World Peace Day thing. First of all, before I do that, I want to say that your name of your book is Healing with a Loving Heart, Discover the Power of Energy Healing. And it can be purchased where?
It can be purchased from Amazon.
And you have a website?
Yes, I do have a website. So it has two names. The easy one is healingbraininjury.com. The other name for it is the same pointer. It's my last name, which is stoica.com.
Healingbraininjury.com. Healingbraininjury.com. Okay. Oh, Susanna, what does peace mean to you?
For me, peace means recognizing that basically we are all the same. As a healer, I work with people with all sorts of backgrounds. I had clients from Australia to Middle East and Europe and North America and South America. And I haven't seen any difference in the energy field related to what language they were speaking, what customs they were having, or what color they had. So we are all the same. Let's respect and enjoy the differences. Let's live like human beings, not like animals.
Okay, thank you so much for sharing the good news. And all the best with the book. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.